Well, it's good to be back. I want to know what a blessing it is, or it was, to go out to California, though, and see that great church. A church that's still preaching the same gospel, preaching the King James Bible, have separation, still has standards, and hasn't gone the way of the seeker-sensitive movement, still standing in the old paths. And yet, a vibrant church running about 4,000 people. You wouldn't think that in California. You know, some of our most conservative, large churches are actually in California. There's two or three of them that run 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000. It's amazing. And what a great, great ministry out there. We were able to go out early. We were planning on being there for the soul winning on Saturday morning, and we ended up having a little accident on the way there. We had borrowed a little trailer and the axles fell off of it. The axle fell off of it. And so it got left in New Mexico or Arizona somewhere, just kind of shoved to the side of the road with a little note inside that said, "If you find this, praise the Lord, it's yours." There's nothing else we could do. 2 o'clock in the morning, no place to fix it, no way to get it. It's yours. So we loaded all the luggage in the back of the church van, old red, and just kept on trucking. But we were late for soul winning, and so anyway. But Sunday morning, just again, orchestra, just music, amazing, and just great preaching. Brother Sam Davidson preached Sunday morning. Some of y'all know who that is. Just very good. And then starting on Monday, we began the conference and had different tracks. So you had a preacher's track where I attended classes. We attended classes from 8:30 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon, and then you came back to the night for the same thing from 7 to 10 o'clock. Yeah, 10:30. And it's just, you know, night after night. It was wonderful. They also had secretary tracks where the secretaries, my wife as well as Sam, were able to attend some secretarial type classes and just get some good training, and that's what it's about. I mean, it is just continuing education, and they are the, I believe, the best at it. And I think if there is a model church in America, they are the model church, and I mean that. It's just amazing what God's doing out there in the desert of California, Lancaster, California. And I'm so glad we were able to be there, and I think you will. I believe that us missing last Sunday and missing part of the week, that the results from that will far outweigh what it costs for us to be gone. And it'll be up to us to make sure that you see that happen, right? And results matter. And so we will see that in the next few months, as well as the next year, just the training we learned. And not just the training was awesome, but the spirit and the preaching and the encouragement and just the overall blessing of being there was just fantastic. And I appreciate you allowing us to go. It was you who paid for us to go. And I realized that, and it was fantastic. And again, I believe you will see results from it. And what a blessing. Old Red made it out there. Old Red, the church van, out there and back. Whatever it was, I think 3,000 miles total, I think. And she just kept on running. And a good old van. We bought that van about 7, 8 months after we started. Had about 25,000 miles on it. Now it's got 110,000. Now it's got 113,000 on it. And just continues to run. And I don't want to talk about the van. This is spiritual stuff. And so, but anyway, we were able again to go out there. I hope you will just be encouraged again by the results. We stayed in dorms. The boys stayed in the dorm. Girls stayed in the dorm. That helped as well as far as cost. It was about $50 to stay in the dorms and not stay in a hotel. And just tremendous, all right? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench the fire darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all the saints. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in the bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your love and grace and mercy. We thank You, Lord, for just Lord, for the week we're looking forward to with Vacation Bible School, for the theme that's been presented to us. And God, we pray that You just bless each kid and each person who comes into VBS. Lord, we'd see many saved because of it. And Lord, we thank You that You have given us an armor, that You haven't left us defenseless. And God, help us to take on that armor. And Lord, help us to start each day with that armor on, that we might live a life for You, and we might live a greater life for You. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been studying Ephesians on Sunday nights, and so some of this will be reviewed, but Ephesians was written by Paul, the Apostle, in about 60 A.D. while he was in prison at Rome. Ephesians was written for the purpose of encouragement. If you'll remember, a lot of the epistles that Paul wrote were not written for encouragement. Most of them were written for correction. And, the Corinthian church, he was correcting them. And you just go on down through the line, Thessalonica, all these other churches, he's correcting them. He's saying, hey, this is your problem, get it right. But not so much in the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, he's laying out the doctrines. He's laying out the theology in the first three chapters. He's saying, here's what you have in Christ. Here's what you got when you accepted Christ as your Savior. Here are the tools you need to live the Christian life. Here's your inheritance. Now take your inheritance. Take what God has given you and go live for Him. And so it's more of encouragement and admonition to remind the believer of the blessings we have in Christ. The first three chapters, again, are theological, emphasizing doctrine, emphasizing the teachings, again, emphasizing those tools that God has given us by way of salvation. Let me just, again, clarify. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, if you're a Christian here this morning and you're a child of God, you know you're on your way to heaven, at the moment of salvation, you were given every tool you need, you were given all the power you need to live out a holy Christian life. You were given all the power you need, you were given all the tools you need to be that ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ that He intended for us to be. And you're without excuse. And I am without excuse. I've heard it from time to time, well, the Lord understands. You know, if He said, be holy for I am holy, He expects you to live holy. Amen? And when you fail, it's a sin. And when I fail, it's a sin. And we ought to go to Him and ask for forgiveness and not go to Him and say, you know, God, you know, You understand that we are fallen creatures. No. No, you're a Christian. You're a child of God. You've been given the tools. God has given you those tools. Jesus Christ has given you the tools to live a holy life. And we can live holy Christian lives. We don't have to give in today to the world and to the pressure around us to fold and to live like everybody else. As Christians, we're to live different. We're to act different. We're to be different. We are new creatures in Christ. Amen? So those first three chapters are laying out the doctrinal aspects of it. And then the last three chapters are practical, focusing on Christian behavior. And again, if God intended for us just to flippantly live however we want to, He wouldn't have been in Ephesians for three chapters lay out how you ought to live. Then we can go back and do some review and look at chapter 4, verse 32. Look at verse 31. I mean, you can find this all throughout these three chapters of Paul's admonition to live right and do right. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamoring and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Sounds like a command to me, doesn't it, to you? Right? Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen. Amen. That's a command. Paul's saying, hey, God has given you at the point of salvation, all the tools you need, now go be kind to each other. Be tender-hearted. Be forgiving. And so forth. And this is, again, the gist or the things that we learn in these last three chapters. So in chapter 6, he comes to it and he says, listen, in order for you and me to live the Christian life, you must put on the whole armor of God. You must put it on. Look with me again. He says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, if you could just take all the things he's been teaching, and we don't have time to review them all. We just gave you one example. If you take all the teachings in those last three chapters, and you see all the ways in which he addresses behavior, and he's saying, hey, be tender-hearted, be kind, put away bitterness, put away wrath. He does all this, and he says, okay, now, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The only way we are going to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ is by understanding we can't do it and that we have to rely upon Him. Be strong in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. We're mainly going to deal with this very first verse. We see today, and even we think about our previous president who liked to use the word evil one. Remember that? Bush liked to use the word evil one. And let me tell you, there is an evil one present today. We are wrestling against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a battle today. Satan is real. His imps are real. We know this. There's proof of it today. The murdering and wars and pornography and drunkenness and abusers and homosexuality and abortion. We see all these things on the rise. We do see a falling away today. We do see, again, we think about Satan and things that are going on in the world today, proof that he is alive. And one of those is communism. Communism. Socialism. You say, preacher, those are of Satan? Absolutely. Humanism. Evolution. Let me again tell you, we are not evolving. We are devolving. We're not doing this as a human species. We're doing this. All headed to the time in which Christ returns. Amen? There's no evolving going. That's ridiculous. I've told you the story before, but if we're evolving, why did God do away with our tails? How many times would guys, you need a tail? Wouldn't that be awesome? Hands full. Use your tail to open the door with. If we were evolving, we'd still have tails. You need a tail. I'm just saying. That's preaching right there. Again, we see immorality and all these things rampant today. We can become discouraged. And we can get caught up in many of these things if we're not careful. And that's why the Lord Paul says, hey, put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. Finally, my brethren, put on the whole armor of God. Let me tell you, this is the soldier's charge. And let me remind you, Ephesians says, we are good soldiers. We ought to be good soldiers. We ought to endure hardness as a good soldier. It's a way in which Paul illustrated for us the Christian life, that we are soldiers of the cross. If you are saved, born-again believer this morning, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you entered a war. You entered a battle. And you say, preacher, I've never felt that way. Never felt that way since I've been saved, that I've been in a battle. Or I've never had, the problems and things that come. Well, one of the proofs that you're a child of God is that you do have war and you do have battle. Amen? And one of the proofs our church is doing something is that we do have problems here. If we weren't doing nothing for the Lord, there would be no problems in our church. I mean, I'm talking about skirmishes and schisms and those type of things, right? You don't believe that? I could take you to many other churches who are existence today, if I sat down with a preacher and he'd say, man, we don't have any problems here. How many did you baptize last year? Well, we didn't baptize any. You know? Amen? Again, when you try to do something for the Lord, there's going to be opposition. The devil hates it. And when you're trying to live a Christian life, when you're trying to do what's right, when you're trying to read your Bible and pray every day, and you're trying, through the help of the Holy Spirit again, to be a soul winner and do all the things that we're supposed to be, the devil doesn't like that. He is going to attack you. He is out to, you understand that, right? If you're a Christian this morning, He's out to destroy you. Do you believe He's real? Man, I know He's real. It's amazing. The believer is described again, the Spirit-filled believer is described in those first three chapters. But again, we see in the last three chapters, He's described as living the Spirit-filled life. If we are to live the Spirit-filled life, we must understand that we are in a battle. Life is a battle, and sometimes it's messy. Amen. I've seen that in my own life. From the point of salvation, we entered a battle. What kind of battle is it? An unceasing battle. An unending battle. And then I got my three-point outline. I've used it with you guys 100 times, but we've got a lot of new people, so we'll use it again. Review is the best teacher. What kind of battle? Who is our enemy? Well, we understand the enemy is not only is it from without, but it's from within. Romans chapter 7 makes this very clear. Paul says, it's a war within me. We must understand that our flesh is our enemy. This old flesh is our enemy. A lot of times when we say Satan's out to get us, or Satan's getting me, usually a lot of times, most of the time, it's not Satan, it's us. It's our flesh. It's our cravings. It's our tendency of selfishness and tendency of sin. We've always said that against the flesh we use what? Flight. Flee also youthful lust, the Bible says. When Joseph was tempted, what did he do? He fled. He fled. When he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, he got out of the situation. And let me tell you, when you are in a situation where you're exposing your flesh to something to be tempted of, you need to get out of that situation. I always use the example of teenagers, but adults as well. If you go to a home or you go to a place and there's supposed to be some kind of party and you get there and there's alcohol being served there, you ought to leave there. Don't put yourself in a position where your flesh can be tempted. Flee also youthful lust. Get out of that situation. You say, well, I'll just hang out here, preacher. I'll just go and try to influence people. I mean, there's churches now in bars. They have a bar ministry. The preacher sits down and drinks with the rest of them. Brother Stone knows a guy who has a ministry like that. So he justified drinking alcohol, which the Bible preaches totally against. In fact, it says even drinking wine. Wine is a mocker. You say, well, if you just drink that diluted wine or whatever, that's not. No, the Bible says the wine is a mocker. So you say, well, you know, that's just talking about strong liquor. No, the Bible preaches against all alcohol. Preaches against social drinking. Well, I just take a little drink at Christmas or a little drink at... Again, the Bible preaches against it, teaches against it. And for you to put yourself in a position where you allow yourself to be put in a position where you can be tempted to drink, you need to remove yourself from that. Amen, teenagers? Amen, what do you do if you get to some place and your buddy brought you or your girlfriend brought you to a place and there was alcohol served there? What are you to do? Flee? What's a practical way of doing that? Mommy, come get me. Drinking going on here. There's immorality going on here. There's people not dressed, you know, appropriately. There's whatever it is, get yourself out of that situation. Amen? Amen, adults? Flee also. Listen, our flesh craves those things. Now, it may not be alcohol for you. It may be something else. Whatever it may be, for me, it may be food. Get yourself out of that situation. Amen? If you're trying to go on a diet, don't make a chocolate cake and put it on the counter. I always tell people, if you're trying to quit drinking, don't keep liquor in the refrigerator. You know, pour it out. Even if you have to pour it out every week, pour it out every week. Flee from it. Get out of the situation. Don't make provision for the flesh. Number two is the world. We understand that the world, I'm not talking about the world people, I'm talking about the world system. The world system is out to influence us. We overcome the world by faith. 1 John 5:4. We overcome the world by faith. How do we have faith? Through the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you read your Bible, as you pray, as you develop that relationship with Jesus Christ, you can overcome the world's philosophy, the world's system, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Don't give in to this, especially today. In fact, today it's so subtle, the things that are going on in our world today. They just like to slip things in. I am telling you right now, there's going to be a vote on gambling in the next couple of years. And they have to vote on it. They have to actually make it a vote for the whole state. I mean, everybody's going to get a chance to vote on it. And I'll tell you right now, this church is going to be vehemently against it. We're going to put it on the sign out front. We're going to knock doors. We are going to do everything we can. Listen, we don't need to give in to the world system. And we don't just need to go along with everything that's immoral. Amen? Against the world, we use faith. Number three, against the devil, which is the serpent. That's the dragon that came out a while ago. By the way, last year, the Bible that we had set up last year was awesome. And the night that Brother Dan Alexander popped out of there, we had some of the little kids sitting out here. So we have learned our lesson. So when we have the dragon come out, we're going to set the little kids in the back. We don't want to scare them. But the old serpent, the old devil, he hates us. He wants to destroy you. He hates you. If you're trying to do what's right, he hates you. Again, our church, if we're trying to do what's right, he hates us. He hates your marriage. He hates your Christian home. He hates our standards as a church. He hates soul winning. He hates knocking on doors. He hates godly music. He hates the King James Bible. He hates all these things. He hates the way we do church. We've got to remember he's out there. He's out to destroy us. He's out to destroy you and your wife. He wants to divide you. Do anything he can to do so. He's out to destroy your kids. Against Satan, we use fight. Fight. Jesus Christ, when he was tempted of the devil, Matthew chapter 4, used the sword, the Word of God, to fight and defeat Satan. Amen. By quoting Scriptures to him. I'm not having time. That's not my whole message this morning. But if you are to defeat Satan, you better know some Bible. You better be in the Word of God. You better take on that sword of the Spirit. The shield of faith, and so on. Nehemiah dealt with all these things. And I, again, lack of time, but Nehemiah faced every one of them. He faced the Sanballat and Tobias, the outside world influences, who were out to destroy him and out to defeat them and get them off the work of the wall. Don't let anything keep us from our work here at Heritage Baptist Church. Don't get discouraged. Amen? Amen. The world doesn't want to see us succeed. Not only did Nehemiah face outward opposition, but he faced inward opposition. And they had somebody letting Sanballat and Tobiah come in and sleep in the temple. It's kind of like the picture you've seen of a ship, and here are the big storm, and you got people tossing things over, trying to keep the ship from sinking. But you got two or three guys in the back drilling holes in the bottom of the boat. Well, let's be careful. Amen? As a church, we need to be very careful. Nehemiah again dealt with all these things. Nehemiah dealt with his own issues as well. And talking with the king and so forth. If you know the history of Nehemiah, you'll get that. And yet through all that, in spite of Sanballat and Tobiah, in spite of the priests who were corrupt, in spite of the intermarrying going on, in spite of all the things that went on with Nehemiah and the people of that day, they had a great victory and the wall was completed. Let me tell you, in spite of the world that's going on around us today, in spite of the opposition, in spite of our own flesh, in spite of the devil, we can have great victories. We've experienced them. All of us have experienced them individually, and we've experienced them collectively as a church. My brethren, finally, my brethren. By the way, it's a Christian thing. A person who's not saved will not face these battles. And listen, there's a whole group of people out there preaching that if you just get saved, all your problems will go away. They preach that. Some guy down in Houston preaches it. Listen, all your problems will not go away when you get saved. They will not all go away. But let me tell you, you've got somebody to go through with you through the problems. You've got the greatest encourager ever. You've got a power source to be tapped into. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The Bible says, He said, in this world you shall have tribulation. He didn't say you wouldn't have any problems. I again tell you, if you're not having problems, a lot of times maybe because you're not trying to live right and do right. Why should the devil come and attack you when you're not trying to do things for Him, for the Lord? We as believers must heed the charge. There's no other way to have victory. There's no other way to conquer the enemy unless believers listen and heed to the Word of God. In order for us to have an abundant life, which Jesus intended for us to have, in order for us to do these things, we must have a personal walk with Jesus Christ. If you're not experiencing the love of Jesus, the fellowship of God, if you have no confidence in the future, the devil's got a hold of you. You need to put that armor back on. Our theme this year is hope in God. Listen, I have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day I get up, I place my hope in Him. Not my hope in a person, or in people, or in family. My hope is in God. Put on the whole armor of God. Finally, my brethren, Christians, he's speaking to Christians. If we are to defeat the enemy, we must be strong. We must be strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of our might. Is that what it says? Power of His might. The power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. His power, the Lord's strength. It's Him, not us, that will defeat the enemy. Be strong. That word strong means power, might, strength. If we are to have be victorious, we must be strong. We must possess strength. Again, not have strength of our own, but possess it. The Lord gives us that strength. It was given to us when we got saved, when we accepted Him as Savior. Be strong in the Lord's power, His sovereign, unlimited power and dominion over all. You understand that, right? I preached that a couple of weeks ago. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, is supreme. He's sovereign. He's above all. He's absolutely all-powerful. Amen? And that same strength, He says, He's given to us. By that mean, we tap into His power. Tap into the power source. How? By prayer. By supplication. By going to Him. Be strong in the power of His might. Whose might? His unlimited power. We can live the Christian life. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Might, strength, force, ability. The ability to use His strength and force wisely, that is to perfection. That's the definition. To use His strength and His force wisely, that is to perfection or to completion. We are saved instantaneously. When I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior, He came and He saved me. I was saved instantaneously. Salvation is instantaneous. Sanctification is a process. One of the things I, again, heard from the trip we went to, when this great church out in California, the Pastor Chapel, who took that church, and there was about 12, 13 people there. And God blessed them, they grew, and they had a building already, but they were landlocked, and so they began to look for property, kind of like what we did. And they bought, I don't know, 40 acres out in the middle of the desert. I mean, just like we've done here, it was just kind of outside the city. Just nothing there. I mean, people made fun of them, said, hey, there's nothing out there, why are you going out there? He told the story. Not this time, but the last time I was there 5 years ago, about their first building and putting up that first building and the problems they had. Very similar to the problems we have when we put up this building. In fact, I think they even had even more. They actually had a particular company steal a bunch of money from them, about $500,000. I told you about that story when I came back last time. You know, sanctification is a process individually. In other words, God is working on me, conforming me into the image of His Son. We're in a battle. We face battles every day. And again, as we face these battles, our faith grows. As we overcome these battles through the help of the Holy Spirit, our faith grows. Lay that aside. Even as an individual, you understand and know that the problems you faced in life, if you look back on them, that for the most part, each battle, each problem you face has made you a better person. Right?
Amen.
Or else you couldn't face the battle you're going to face tomorrow.
Amen?
Amen? In other words, God uses problems, God uses storms in life to grow us. He says so. He's conforming us into the image of His Son. Amen? I believe churches are the same way. You say, preacher, you know, for 4 years our church went through a valley, went through a trial for 4 years while we're building this building and so forth. I am telling you right now, as you look back on that, we wouldn't be where we're at today had it not been for the trials. You say, preacher, you really believe that? Absolutely, I believe it. And God had a reason for it. Just as He has a reason for the problems and trials that you face. And God brings us as a church through these valleys in order to bring us to the mountaintop for the last 2 or 3 years and to help us for the next phase, to help us for the next transition, to help us for the next battle, to help us with the next confrontation. Amen?
Amen?
Same thing in our own lives. Now what are we to do? What are we to do as individuals? We're to put on the armor of God. We're to understand that we cannot face the battle alone, as David understood that. David, the shepherd, faced that lion and faced that bear and killed that lion and killed that bear, not in his own strength, but in the power of the Lord. So that when he faced the big battle, when he came to the big giant, he was able to face that. And he said, not by my power, not by my might, but by the Spirit. Amen? He said, not me, it's not me, it's the Lord. Is there not a cause? And he gave credit where credit's due. And when you come to that trial, when you come to that battle, you come to it in not your strength, but come to it in His strength. It's kind of like this. When you come to it, you get down on your knees and you say, Lord, I can't handle this. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I give it to You. By the way, that's the best position for you to be in. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do about the finances. I don't know what I'm going to do about my job. I don't know what I'm going to do about my wayward child. I don't know what I'm going to do about whatever. You fill in the blank. Lord, I know You know what to do. And He'll do it for you. Ain't God good?
Amen.
We fight the battle. We take it to the battle. We fight Satan. We know he's out to get us. We take the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We delve into the Word of God. We get closer to the Lord. And we take that sword and we just fight. Fight Him. Don't give up. Amen? Preaching to myself this morning. Don't give up. Don't give up. The devil hates you. We're selfish. Every single one of us in this room are selfish. We want what we want. It's not about what we want, it's about what he wants. Amen? Man. Let's remember we're in a battle. Let's remember that God is conforming us into His image through those battles. And let's keep our eye on the goal. See, salvation is instantaneous. Sanctification is a process. Being sanctified, growing into the image of Jesus Christ. And glorification will happen one day when we stand before God.
Amen?
Amen? Same thing in the church. You know, the starting and then the growing and the working on us. God's working on us. Don't give up.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God. Let's all stand.